My friends, I speak to you in the name of God, the Holy One who journeys with us. Amen. Every year, as we prepare to open the gift of Lent, we are both the same and different people. Well, being the same person as the Lent before, our needs and circumstances and capacities may well have changed over the past 12 months. And so our practice of a Holy Lent may also need to change. This simple truth is probably more self-evident and compelling this season than it's ever been before, or at least for a very long time. Last year, my pre-COVID self felt called to a certain set of Lenten disciplines, a combo of giving up sweets and my third daily cup of coffee, as well as a promise to spend twice as much time every day in prayer and my yoga practice. My usual Lenten combo of giving up and taking on, a variation of something that I've been doing fruitfully for many, many years. But as Ash Wednesday approached this year, I realized that my COVID self is very different, just as the COVID world is very different. Just as I suspect most of you are very different. I am more physically alone and separated from people and buildings and places that I love than I have ever been in my entire life. And I have to work harder to be connected and involved. And so I'm somewhat weary, which means in February 2021, I bring less energy to the work of Lent. Well, I would love to try and give up that third cup of coffee. I don't think it wise to make a commitment about doing so, because I don't want to set myself up for failure. The truth is, I may need it to keep my other commitments, even if I make a promise to have an afternoon catnap after my post-lunch walk. All in all, some days, our COVID life feels to me like the endurance of a great societal affliction or battle. Not so much against one another, although there has been a little bit of that with ugly racial and political tensions and hostilities, but a battle against this tiny virus. It's felt like an affliction, a hardship, an endurance on so many levels. And now you want to add Lent? As I found myself deep in these feelings, my mind opened a precious memory, one that's lain fallow for a very long time, although I think of this person often and well, as she's one of my heroes of the faith and the greatest Canadian I've had the privilege to know intimately. And I found myself thinking of a young pre-COVID self skipping up the main street of Trolley, where the original L'Arche community is located, on the way to my afternoon job. It was pretty much 41 years to today. just before Ash Wednesday, 1980. I was pretty jazzed about my afternoon job, pretty jazzed about the beginning of Lent. My afternoon job, a couple times a month, was to help Madame Vanier with her public correspondence. The deal was sweet. I typed whatever letters she needed typed. I kept my mouth shut about to whom she was writing and the contents of the letters in return for a delicious tea, a delicious libation first, and all the insider stories I wanted to hear, whether about that prime minister's crystal ball or the Queen's sister's boyfriends. But on that day, in February 1980, what I really wanted to hear was her wisdom about how to keep a holy Lent, because her spiritual side was what I prized about her the most. She was a person of deep, deep faith, but also someone very real, very human, with deep flaws, just like the rest of us, but with compassion as wide and deep as the Pacific, with zeal as ardent as the apostles, and an ability to welcome the handicapped man in the next village or the assistant from Toronto with the same or greater hospitality as the kings and presidents and popes she had also welcomed into her home. So I asked as we sat down to tea, "What are you giving up for Lent?" And she looked at me with a little frown and said, "Nothing." "Nothing?" I asked. "Nothing," she said emphatically. "I'm too old and I'm too tired. And I kind of feel like I've given it all up already." And then seeing the de-idealization that was suddenly happening and my disappointment, she said, "Well, you know, usually, because I'm a good Catholic, usually I give up something. Of course I do." And then she laughed and said, no, yeah, I'm giving up my 70s for Lent, because at the end of next month, I'm turning 80. And we both chuckled. But not taking no for an answer, I said, "Okay, so you're going to take something on for Lent. You're going to give more money to charity. You're going to pray an extra hour a day. You're going to take something on." "Absolutely not," she said. "I'm not going to do a darn thing. Nothing is going to change except what I'm already doing. And I'm going to turn 80. I have enough challenges already in my life, in this village, living in this community. It's meant a lot of sacrifices. And entre nous, sometimes, Susan, I really regret selling my little house in Montreal and coming here." And there was a catch in her voice. She looked at me really kindly because she was afraid to burst my Larche bubble and disappoint me even more. And she could kind of tell I wasn't getting it. So she said, "I've just come back from Paris where I saw my spiritual director. And he said, it's okay not to give anything up for Lent. Just do what you're doing. do what you're doing for Lent and be an ambassador for Christ. Then she laughed and said, you know, he's getting really old too, because that's the same advice he's given me before, way back, just after the war. And then she became very pensive, almost sorrowful. And she continued, and she said, it was in 45 or maybe 46 when Georges was ambassador to France. And she was doing a lot of work for the Red Cross with war refugees. And she was listening to their stories of horror. And she said, sometimes I couldn't endure it another moment. But then she thought, if I can't endure it, how can I expect them to? I need to be here and listen and be a witness. And her spiritual director said to her, Pauline, this Lent, you must also be an ambassador, not for Canada, but for Christ. And I said to him, Susan, I don't think so. I can't do that. You know what a deeply flawed human being I am. You are my confessor. And how many times I've told you in a more amusing way how I've been at some official diplomatic black tie function and I put my foot in my mouth. And Georges has said to me later some version of, well, I can dress you up, but I can't take you out. And my spiritual director wasn't put off by that. And Susan, he looked at me sternly and he said, well, you're already doing the work of reconciliation every single day by what you're doing and the life you're living. And one more thing is necessary. And that's all. And it's very simple. When you go to Mass on Ash Wednesday, and the priest puts that sign of the cross on your forehead, you will become an ambassador for Christ for the next 40 days. And the power of God will be with you, with righteousness for your right hand and righteousness for your left. My friends, whatever your Lenten discipline will be this year, this counsel from St. Paul and Madame Vanier's spiritual director is as wise and comforting to our COVID souls as it was to hers, as she embarked on the dark and difficult lengths of her times. Now, we might frame it as leaning into our lives, leaning into their challenges and circumstances, many of which are already sacrificial and difficult to endure, but which through God's grace we can say, even if it's metaphorical, we are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. like Madame Vanier and so many of our forebears in the faith, like so many of our pre-COVID selves, we come here this evening to become, once again, ambassadors for Christ. We come to receive that ashen sign of the cross in dark, difficult times, but trusting that the power of God will be with us, giving us all that we need for this journey. Righteousness for our right hand and righteousness for our left. May God grant that it be so. Amen.